sakes of Christmas. And we've been opening this chest and trying to find some treasures this Christmas. Things that I can keep inside of me this Christmas. The first one was treasures for dispelling fear. And I learned from Mary and Joseph, who were very, very frightened. They were afraid. And I learned how to deal with some fear. That's a gift God gave me this Christmas and to you as a church, because we studied it from the Word of God. Then also we looked at treasures for developing our faith. And we wrote a song called The 12 Days of Christmas. Christmas isn't just about Jesus as a little baby. It's about all kinds of things, promises fulfilled in the Word of God. So we put that message together, put it on a song. There's a free copy of that sermon out there on CD with that song, if you'd like it, on the way out while supplies last. Then last week we looked at the wise men. Treasures for discovering the favor of God. Looking from wise men. How can you have the favor of God on your life? And we saw that last week. Today, we're going to learn from Jesus. Okay? This is for the new year, 2010. And this message is called Treasures for Disciplined Feet. Can you say that with me? Treasures for Disciplined Feet. Don't you want your feet to go in the right path this year, yes or no? Don't you want that? Don't you want to walk in His steps and follow in His path and go where He wants you to do and do the things that He says for you and have the blessing of God on your life? Isn't that what we want as a child of God? We are disciples. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We're to follow Him. We're to walk after His ways. So treasures for disciplined feet. We're going to look at the life of Jesus today. Yes, He was born. He lived 33 years, died on the cross, rose from the dead. We see many things after His birth and early childhood of how He lived His life. Let's look at it today. Let's go with the message. Here we go. What we got? Look at those feet. How many saw the movie Happy Feet with Love Penguin? Yeah, Love Happy Feet. The Dancing Penguin. Amen. Y'all saw the Dancing Penguin? Did y'all see the Dancing Penguins? All right. How about these feet? Hit it, Raj. I'm looking. Here we go. Chip. Look at Raj go. Alex go, baby. Oh, man. There we go, yeah. I don't want feet like that. Treasures for disciplined feet, amen. How am I going to walk this year in the ways of God? I'm going to follow Jesus this year. That's my commitment in 2010. Is that your commitment, following the Lord? Let's learn from Jesus Christ. These are not the kind of feet we're talking about. We're talking about our Savior's feet. The Bible says in Romans 10:15, and how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, say it with me, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. Treasures for disciplined feet. That's what we're talking about. Look at the footprints. We want to follow Jesus this year. We want to learn that from the Christmas story and from the message today. 1 Peter 2:21 says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Help me now, that you should do what? Follow His steps. He did no sin. Neither was guile found in His mouth. Who, when He was reviled, He reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not. But He committed Himself to Him that judges righteously. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you're what? Healed. What a wonderful Savior we have. Following Jesus in 2010. Can you say that with me? Following Jesus in 2010. I want disciplined feet. How many ever had trouble with your feet going down the wrong path? Amen? Man, my feet, I got feet in my mind. That's where I get all screwed up, right up here. The battlefield is right here. The battleground's in my mind. That's where I struggle. My feet's always going all over the place. Amen? I want discipline in my life. Let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ Jesus. We're going to follow Christ. We've got to have the mind of Christ. Are y'all all right so far? Well, let's learn from Jesus. Let's follow Him. Treasures for disciplined feet. Have five things we want to say, just five things this morning. First one's going to be a little bit longer, and then they click along. The first one, let's follow Jesus. Number one, and you're going to have this problem this year. Jesus endured what? Help me now one more time. Jesus did what? He endured temptation. You're going to have to do that this year. Do y'all know that, yes or no? Say, oh yeah. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, oh man, I can't believe this happens and that happens. Hey, then die. That's life. You're going to struggle this year. Do y'all know that? Say, there's going to be some struggles. There's going to be some battles this year. Jesus endured temptation. Let's learn from the Master. Hebrews 4:15, for we don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But Jesus, listen, was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without what? Sin. We need to learn from Him. How did you do it, Jesus? Well, here's how He did it when He was low. This seems to be the struggle I have often, is I get low. How many people get like that with me? A little discouraged, a little down, get a little low, okay? How did He deal with those lows? Look at it. Matthew 4, talking about Him enduring temptation. Lord, I want to follow You. How did You do it? I want to walk like You. I don't want to dance like Roger or Alex or Gary. I want to follow You, Jesus. Amen. I certainly don't want to have no happy feet like that penguin dude. Amen. I want to walk like You, Lord. How did You do it? Matthew 4, then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, there's our word, of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward, and He was what? He was hungry. It was low. Low is hard, man. Low time in His life. And when the tempter came to Him at that low time, He said, if Thou be the Son of God. You ever get like that in your mind, doubting things, questioning things? Satan puts things like that in your head, doesn't he? Say, he wants us to go down that path. If God really loves you, if your husband really loves you, if your wife really loves you, if you see what I'm saying? Amen? If you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. So when He was low, Satan came to Him with what? Say it with me. Doubt. Now hang in here. Don't go sleep on me. Punch somebody if you see him sleeping. Here we go. Satan wants to do what this year? He wants to knock you out with doubt. Come on. One more time. Satan wants to knock you out with when you're low. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to be down. Is being discouraged and in that kind of mood the will of God for your life? No, it's not. Okay? And I admit I struggle in this area. How did Jesus deal with this low? The Word was His weapon. The Word was His weapon. You got to fight back this year. Y'all hear me? When you get low, and it's going to happen, He's going to hit your head. You're going to entertain these thoughts. You've got to fight back. And we fight back with the Word of God. That's what Jesus did. But He answered and said, it is written in the Word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what? Word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If I'm going to follow Jesus Christ this year, I've got to do what Psalm 119 says. Your Word, God, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against You. I have got to be in the Bible. This idea that I can't read the Bible, I can't understand the Bible, that's insanity. I need it for my own help, my own spiritual help, my own head. I need this, God. I've got to be able to fight Satan. That's what He did when He was low. Psalm 119, I'll meditate in Your precepts. I'll have respect unto Your ways, God, the way You walk, the way You say I should walk. I will delight myself in Your statutes. I will not forget Your Word. That's how I fight Satan when I'm low. Got it? So I've got to endure some temptation this year. How am I going to follow Jesus through this hard mess I'm going to be going through? Well, it's going to be tough. I got to be in His Word. That's going to be my weapon. Satan's going to attack me with doubt. I got to knock him back out. Amen? That's the plan. What about this? What about when you're high? Amen? I ain't talking about smoking nothing. I'm talking about a real opportune time for you to get off the path is when you're high, when everything's going good. Listen, y'all listen to me, yes or no? Man, I got it again. Everything's good. Amen. Don't need God. That's how we act, like fools we do. How am I going to endure the temptation of not being full of myself and just, you know, doing what I want to do and being all happy about it? You know, I got my life together, my act together. Okay? Jesus had that same struggle. Luke 4, when the devil had ended all the temptation, departed from him for a season. Okay? Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out fame throughout the region. He was famous. He was on cloud nine. Amen? Satan wasn't going to leave him alone. He's teaching in the synagogues. He's being glorified of all. He deserved it. You and I don't deserve it. Amen? He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up as a child. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read the Scriptures. He began to say unto them, "This day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness, and they wondered at his gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. They even said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Things couldn't have been better for Jesus, right? Say, you're going to have some testing this year. You're going to have to know how to walk right when things are good. Amen? You have to know how to take those accolades. And when the good comes, you have to know how to deal with it. Amen? What happened to you? Because Satan's in that too. Sometimes we think when things are bad, that's just, oh, devil's in the bad. When things are good, devil ain't in the good because everything's good. Devil's in both of them. He won't screw your life up. Amen? You hearing me today? Talking about living and following Jesus and having disciplined feet. Jesus said unto them, they're giving him all these platitudes, all this good stuff, oh, you're the greatest. And Jesus said unto them, you're going to surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. Whatsoever we have heard of you do in Capernaum and other places, you do here in your own town, your own country. Okay? And so he had to fight this area of pride. Jesus Christ. And that's what Satan does. He wants to knock us out with doubt. Say that with me. He wants to puff us up with what? He wants to knock us out with... He wants to puff us up with... That's his plan. How am I going to navigate through all this mess this year? How can I follow you, Jesus, through my testing, my temptations, my struggles? The people who were there, they wanted him to put on a show. Wouldn't it have been easy for Jesus to do that? He could do it, couldn't he, say? Amen? But he didn't do that. He resisted. Okay? He said, verily I say unto you, yeah, you want me to put on a show, but no prophet's accepted in his own country. I'm smarter than you guys. You want me to put on a show? You're puffing me all up and all that stuff. It's not about me and it's not about God. It's about you wanting to see a show. Okay? And I'm not going to fall for that trick and I'm not going down that path. Okay? These works that I do are for my Father. I glorify God my Father. Okay? This ain't about a flesh thing. This ain't about you waving a wand and I'm going to perform. It ain't happening. Okay? Because that's not what I do. That's not the will of my Father. Don't we do that though sometimes? Say, amen. How am I going to fight doing that this year? And all they in the synagogue, when they heard how he came back at them, they were filled with wrath. They rose up. They thrust him out of the city. They took him and literally carried him out of the city. I've been there many times to this place, Nazareth, to that brow, that hill. They led him up to the brow of this hill whereon this city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Amen? Be careful this year when people puff you up and think you're the greatest. They liable to be throwing you over a cliff about next week. Y'all listening to me, yes or no? Amen? Live for God. Follow Jesus. Learn from the Master today. Oh, yeah, doubt's going to come. He's going to try to knock you out. But also pride's going to come this year. Y'all listening or not? Follow him through this mess. Live for him. Glorifying God was his way. That was his way. The word was his weapon. And glorifying God was his what? That was his way. That should be my way this year. So what happened? They're ready to kill him, throw him off a cliff. But Jesus, passing through the midst of them, he went his way. That's how you're going to get out of temptation this year. You glorify God. You follow God. You walk in His way. You put down pride and mess like that in your life. And you'll be surprised. Wow, I made it. Amen. God helped me this year fight temptation and struggle. He came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee. He taught them on the Sabbath day, and they were astonished at His doctrine, for His word was with what? Satan wants to steal your power this year. Wants to knock you out with doubt. He wants to puff you up with pride. He wants you to have zero power. Amen? So can we follow Jesus in our temptations this year? Did we learn something? I learned something. It's there for you if you want to grab it. That's how Jesus did it. The word was His weapon. Glorifying God was His way out. Let's look at another one. Following the steps of Jesus. Number two, this year, you're going to need to combat hypocrisy. Can you say that with me? This year, you're going to need to combat. Boy, y'all aren't helping me one more time. This year, you're going to have to combat hypocrisy. Phoniness in your life. Not being real, not being honest, just playing the game. You're going to have to fight that this year. Do you ever play the game? Can I see your hands a little bit? You play the game. You go through the emotions. Oh, I'm the Christian guy. Well, I'm an expert at it. I do it for a living. Amen? See, I got to be here regardless. I got to show up every Sunday. It's my job. Be real easy for me to be a hypocrite up here. Y'all listening? Why do you think I have five men pray with me in a truck at 7:30 every Sunday morning before I get on the stage? You know why? To knock me out. To get me focused. It's not about you. It's about Jesus, Gary. That's what it's all about. Amen? That is a fight. I have to fight. And you're going to have to fight that fight. Hypocrisy. Y'all ever hypocrites in the house? Say yes or no. Yeah. Jesus combated hypocrisy. John 2:13-14, the Jews' Passover was at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple, who does the Bible say the temple is now? Somebody tell us. We are. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's time, He went to the temple in Jerusalem, and He saw them there selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money were sitting there. What was going on? The worship in the temple was corrupted. We're flying. It was corrupted. He goes to the temple. They're full of hypocrites. Temple priests looked forward to these feasts. This was Passover, so they could make a what? Buck. At Fellowship Church, we're not about making a buck. Can you say that with me? Try to say that one. At Fellowship Church, we're not about making a buck. I've had people tell me, why don't you put an offering basket down by the donuts and let people pay for the donuts? I ain't doing it. We're going to give stuff to people. Amen? I mean, there's the scramble. People open up their homes. They spend hundreds, even thousands of dollars over the last couple of weeks at the open house. Why do y'all do that? Put yourself through that horror. That's the will of God for my life. We're not about making a buck. If you can't give cheerfully, you keep it. I think in the end, you're going to be poor and broke. You stay on your path. I'm going to stay on my path. Amen? We're not about making a buck here. If you're here today, and you're just like I was when I first came to church, preacher going to take our last dollar. I thought he was. I was so angry the first time I went. I wanted to bust him square in the mouth. I didn't even know the guy. Later, it was that guy that led me to Christ. Amen? That's not what we're about. We need to fight that here at this place. Did y'all hear me? Yes or no? Amen. So that's what was going on. They were wanting to make a buck, not worship God. They sold animals to traveling pilgrim worshipers, and it was a major source of their income. Matter of fact, these hypocritical priests, they made their own money. See, that's why if you really want to make you some money, you get it to where people have to buy your money to buy something. Oh, no, your money no good. You got to buy my money. Okay. Then you'll be rich, okay? That's what they did. You got to buy our coins, our money, so that you can buy your sacrifice, your stuff, and they would get at least an 8% cut on top of it. Now, how would you feel if you're the creator of the universe and you come and you see this and you're about to die in a few, you know, short years here for the sins of the world? Wouldn't you be ticked off too, yes or no? Jesus fought this mess. The temple had become a den of thieves. Amen? Jesus was incensed at the religious abuse and phony worship. I have got to fight that this year. Brandon and Brenda, pastors here from Canada, y'all have to fight that. I have to fight that. Not the folk. I got to fight it in Gary. This is the problem, not you. I'm the problem. Amen? I'm the temple. Are you willing to follow Jesus this year and fight hypocrisy in your life? Good! Amen? If there's just three of us, we'll do it. Amen? Here we go. Let's try it again. Are you willing to fight hypocrisy in your life this year? Yeah! And when Jesus had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen. He poured over the changers' tables and he overthrew the tables. He doesn't sound very loving here, does he? And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And sometimes we miss this altogether. We're all about judging that I've got DVDs out back that we sell for less than cost, or you can have one for nothing if you don't have the money, okay? Because we're not about making a buck here. Got it? This is not the message. The message is you're screwed up. That's the message here. I'm screwed up. What stuff in my life needs to be flipped? What stuff in my life needs to be cast out? Got it? If I'm going to be a follower of Christ in 2010, if I'm going to have disciplined feet, oh, I can keep playing the game and judging somebody else. Oh, I can do that all day long. But if I want to have disciplined feet, then I'm going to have to combat hypocrisy in Gary Clark this year. Amen? That's a job. Wow. Look, the footsteps are growing. All right. I'm learning, Lord. Number three, they get quicker. Those first two are big daddies right there. Number three, what did Jesus do? He exercised self-control. Could you say that with me? He exercised self-control. I am going to have to exercise some self-control this year if I'm going to have disciplined feet. Anything doesn't go, guys. If you're a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, what you've always done is not what you should always do. Who you've always been is not who you're always going to be. Amen? Well, I can't help it. I just cuss. Stop it! Amen? Yes or no? Say. Well, I drink. I do some drugs. Hey, you need to stop that. That's not being a true, good follower of Jesus Christ. That's not having disciplined feet. Amen? Well, I like to run around and cheat a little bit and stuff like that. It's horrible. Stop it! Are you hearing me say? Oh, I'm loud today. If you need me after the service, sir, to take your head and wrap it up against that wall to help you, I'd be happy to do it. Amen? Say. If you need me, I'm telling you. Listen, friend. Listen, we've got to exercise self-control in our life. If we're going to have disciplined feet. I can't do anything I want to do. Can you say that with me? I can't do anything I want to do. Why? Because I can't be a follower of Christ like that. I just can't. Okay? Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. You will really find rest for your soul if you will follow me. Amen? Self-control. Jesus Christ was meek, meek. Meekness does not mean weakness. Meekness means I am a person who is under control. The actual word meek comes from a word used to put a bit in a horse's mouth. A big old horse, he's got a bit, and you can turn that big old sucker this way or that way with that little bit. It comes from the word for a helm on the back of a ship. You can turn this big ship with such a small little rudder. It's amazing what strength under control can do for your life this year. Are you listening? Say. Okay? I've got to have self-control. Don't get out of control. You'd be surprised. You just stay on track here. Amen? Let him lead you. Follow him this year. Meekness. Meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. How about that one? Meekness, and it's next to another word that's very similar, temperance. Against such there is no law. You can be under control this year, and you're not going to get thrown in jail for it or nothing. Amen? Do right this year. Y'all listening? Do the right thing. Follow Him. Those that have meekness are blessed, Jesus said. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Don't be surprised as you walk after the Lord this year and you stay disciplined and self-controlled, that you don't fall more in the flow of His Spirit and of His blessing in your life. This is the will of God for you. Meekness is a quality of greatness. He that is great among you shall be your what? Servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. That's that word, that idea of meekness. Humbling yourself, serving. Do you want His feet? His feet, He got some big shoes, don't He? Say. Man, that's why He's God and you're not. Amen. He was not just a good man. He's the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ is. He's someone I can follow. He's equipped me with His Spirit and His Word to walk in His way this year, to have disciplined feet. Amen? That's what I want. Number four, let's follow Jesus. Jesus openly loved people. Can you say that with me? Jesus openly loved people. You need to do that this year. Openly love people. That's part of God's will for your life. I don't like people. You're a Christian. Amen? How many have ever met some mean Christians? Say. I've known so many mean Christians, if it was me, I'd send them over to Afghanistan. They would whoop people's tail. I'm telling you, some of the meanest Christians I've ever met in my life. I'm telling you what. But anyway. We don't want that here at Fellowship. Amen? Yes or no? If you're mean, there's eight doors out of here. Pick one of them. Amen? I'd rather have a smaller church than a larger church full of mean people. Any day. Amen? But I'd like to have a larger church full of sweet, humble, meek people. Amen? That's reaching their community for Jesus Christ. We can do that, guys. He openly loved people. It was His mission statement. When Jesus was born, here's what the angel said to Mary and to Joseph. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name, for He shall save His people from their sins. Jesus means God saves. He's one of the few people I've ever met whose name was His mission statement in life. That's who He was. His name was who He was and what He did. Jesus means God saves. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He openly loved people. He was labeled for openly loving people. When you saw Jesus, they would go, there's that man that loves people. Hey, right over there, look at him. Wouldn't that be a great label to have on you, say, this year? Boy, that pastor loves people. I hope that's the label they can stick on me. I want that label. Oh, Gary Clark, he loves people. Cares for people. That's what I want on me. Fellowship Church, they see something on your bumper sticker on the back of your car or something like that, and they'll go, well, those people, I know one thing, they love people down yonder. Amen? Somebody at the property the other day across the ditch there where we have our church property, they saw me in the pickup truck, and I rolled down the window and spoke to them across the swell. And here's what the fellow said to me. He said, thank you for doing what you're doing there. And then he said this, I used to live in an apartment complex where you had so many people from Fellowship that lived there, and they were happy people. Amen? Come on. That's good stuff. Here was the label Jesus wore. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. This was what Jesus lived with. He wore this label. Glutton means eating in excess. Winebibber means given to wine. Publicans were tax-collecting crooks. Sinners were low-life losers. So here's the label that Jesus Christ wore. He was labeled as eating and drinking with crooks and low-life losers. That was His label. Amen? And guess what? It was a label they put on Him, and it stuck. He wore that label proudly. I love people. He cared for people. Jesus vigorously, courageously, aggressively, and openly loved sinners. Can you say that with me? Pop it up one more time. Say it with me. Jesus vigorously, courageously, aggressively, and openly loved. That's what he did. Amen? How about you this year? Walking in those steps, loving people. You get ticked off. And as you get older, folks, it happens to you. You get short. You get short, too. You do this, but you get short. Amen? Listen. At the cash register, you're not getting out of a pinch of fit like I'm a baby. You're pathetic. That's not Jesus. Amen? Say, come on. I know it's hard, but listen, that's being self-controlled. Love those people. That was his mindset. This was his mission, Jesus Christ. The last one today, treasures for disciplined feet. How am I supposed to walk this year, preacher? I'm to follow Jesus. These are things I pulled out of Scripture about Jesus. Right in the Bible. Jesus willingly, say it with me, sacrificed himself for others. Jesus was physically on this planet for 33 years. But guess what? Jesus Christ didn't come to live a long life. He came to save sinners. Don't feel sorry for Jesus. Amen? Yeah, let's praise the Lord because he did that. Come on. Amen. We ought to. Amen. He did not come to live a long life. He came to save sinners. That's who he is. He sacrificed himself. The Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Several verses here. Jesus was born to die. No man took his life from him. No man took his life. And you know what, folks? If you don't want to sacrifice your life for others this year, you don't have to. Nobody can make you do that. I can't make you do that. I'm going to try. Amen? Can't make you. It's got to be a choice you make this year. I want to follow Jesus. I want to sacrifice for other people. Nobody took Jesus' life from him. It's what he said in Mark. Therefore doth my Father love me. Jesus talking. Because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes my life from me. But I lay it down of what? I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment I received of my Father. John 19, and Jesus, he bearing his cross, he went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, two others with him, Jesus, one on either side, and Jesus was in the middle. Hebrews 12 tells us to look to Jesus, to follow Jesus. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he did what? Endured the cross. Despised the shame of it, but he did it anyway. Amen. He sacrificed him, and now he's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus Christ sacrificed himself. We see Jesus on purpose made a little lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death. Crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should do what? Taste death for us. He gave his life a sacrifice. Amen. Did you get them? What am I supposed to do this year, preacher? You confused me. It was too long. Here we go. I'm telling you what, it is hard to come up with a message when Christmas Eve and Christmas is in the middle of the week. No, man, it's rough. Amen? I beat myself up over this today. This will work. Praise the Lord. This will work this year in 2010. Let's look at it. What should I do this year if I'm going to follow Jesus? Here we go. Pop it up, Raj. Here we go. Say it with me. Resist temptation. Number two, combat hypocrisy. Number three, exercise self-control. Number four, openly love people. And number five, sacrificially live your life this year for Jesus Christ. Amen. Keepsakes. That's cool the way Rod's put that in the sand. Following Jesus. Have a happy new year. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're good to us, man. Thank you.